Hoshana Rabbah is both a quasi Yom Hadin, a day of judgment, and also a quasi Yom Tov, a quasi holiday. How do we understand Hoshana Rabbah as both of these elements, both of these types of days? So we begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Sukkah, Perek Dalet, discusses what was done, at least in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, where in the Perek Dalet, the Mishnah first says that Arava can be taken either 6 or 7 days of Sukkos. If Arava, if the Yom Arava, the seventh day of Sukkos, falls out on Shabbos, so then you take the Arava all 7 days. If the seventh day does not fall out on Shabbos, then you take it 6 days, you don't take it on Shabbos. But what was the procedure? Mishnah Hay of Perek Dalet, we read that Mitzvahs Arava Kate said, what was the Mitzvah of Arava? Malkum Hayar Lamatim Yerushalayim, there's a place beneath Yerushalayim, Venikra Motza, it was called Motza, Yardim Lisham, they went down there. Umalakti Misham Ruborya Shal Arava, and they would take Arava branches. Ubaim Vizokim Mosam Batsidi HaMishkan, they would lean them, place them and lead them on the sides of the Mizbeach, Virashim Kfufim Agabi Amita, Mizbeach. And the heads of these willow branches were bent on top of the Mizbeach. Taku ve'riu v'taku. They'd blow the shofar. B'chol yom akifin mizbeach pamachas. Every day they would circle the Mizbeach one time. And then, oso hayom, and they'd say certain things, on Hashem Hoshiana, on Hashem Hatzlichana, or Aniva Hoshiana. And also hayom, and on the seventh day, and yom arava, hayom akifim, as a Mizbeach shiva pamim. They would circle the Mizbeach for 7 days. So, from the Mishnah, it seems you'd lead some arava on the Mizbeach, and there'd be this circling around the Mizbeach either one day every day, but on Hoshana Rabbah, it was done 7 times. It's not clear from the Mishnah, what did they do when they circled around the Mizbeach? Did they circle around the Mizbeach walking around? Did they take an arava? Did they take a lulav around? It's not clear from the Mishnah. Nowadays, we know that we circle the bima 7 times around with a lulav. And then we do this, we perform the Hoshana ceremony, ritual. We wave it, we beat the Arava. There's no mention of this in the Mishnah. And there's also a mini Yom Tov. There's no mention of that in the Mishnah either. So how do we get from the Mishnah to what we do today? So first of all, there's a discussion in the Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph, as to what the nature of Arava is. It's a debate between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. So one opinion is that Arava is Yesod Nevi'im, and one opinion is that it's Minhag Nevi'im. What's the difference if it's Yesod Nevi'im versus Minhag Nevi'im? Rashi explains Yesod Nevi'im is Takanas Nevi'im Achrodim. Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So this was a Takana that the later Nevi'im established of Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Versus a Minhag is simply that no one was Metaki, no one established this practice, just the people establish it themselves. What's the difference if it's Yesod Nevi'im or Minhag Nevi'im? If it's Yesod Nevi'im, you're going to recite a bracha. If it's Minhag Nevi'im, you're not going to recite a bracha. So the truth is, though, there are other opinions, the nature of Arava. And at least in the Mikdash, so there's Abba Shol thinks it might even be in mitzvah de oraisa, because arve nachal is written plural. Shtaim achas luv achas lamikdash. And the Rabbanan say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. There's another opinion, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. So if Arava was, let's say, if Arava was a de oraisa, halacha l'moshe misinai, or a real Doraisa, so why nowadays, and it was done, let's say, every single day, you have these willow branches that lean over the Mizbeach, why nowadays do we only do the Arava ritual on the seventh day? So the Gemara concludes, and why Lulav do we do nowadays 7 days? Lulav, In the Mikdash, when there was a Beis Hamikdash standing, so in the Mikdash, they took the Lulav for 7 days, Lifnei Hashem, before God, in the Mikdash area. But outside the Mikdash area, maybe outside Yerushalayim, it was only Lakat Mecham B'Yom Rishon, only the first day. Nowadays, with no Beis Hamikdash, we take the Lulav for 7 days, but we only take the Arava for 1 day. So the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph, concludes that lulav the islay ikar torah ikar mina torah bigvulin avdina lay shiva zechal mikdash. That lulav, the ikar of lulav actually is explicit in the Torah. So therefore, when we do a Zecher LaMikdash, we do it for all 7 days. But Arava, that it's, you can't find an explicit reference to Arava. It's either Lech LaMoshe MiSinai or it's hinted at. Since there's nothing explicit Minat Torah, at least certainly Bigvulin outside the Mikdash, there's nothing. Lulav, Torah says, L'katlacham b'yom harishon, priyat hadar, even Bigvulin, there's a mitzvah Minat Torah explicit. However, there's no explicit mitzvah Bigvulin outside the Mikdash, so therefore we're not going to do it 7 days, we only do it 1 day. So that's why Lulav, nowadays, we do 7 days, and Arava, we do 1 day. And in fact, the Ran writes that, you know, there's a Gemara in Sukkah, Dapim Gilman Amin Beit, which has a debate. And the Gemara there debates, when they circled around the Mizbeach, did they circle around the Mizbeach with a lulav or with an arava? So that's a machlokas. So Belozer says with the lulav, and Shmuel Bar Nosson says, the name of Chanina, with the arava. And in fact, so there's a debate in the Masorah, what debate is what they did in the days of the Mishnah, days of the Beis HaMikdash. Did they go around with a lulav or did they go around with an arava? And the Ran points out that nowadays, that we circle around the bima every day with the lulav, so it must be that we paskin like the opinion that in the times of the mikdash, they would circle around the mizbeach with a lulav and not an arava. So just to sort of summarize where we are, in the days of the Mishnah, they would lean the arava every day by the mizbeach. They lean it up against the mizbeach. And every day they would circle around the Mizbeach once with the lulav. And in the on the seventh day, on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, they would circle around 7 times. So then eventually, in the times of the Gaonim, the Tshuvas HaGaonim, Rav Chaim mentions that they started a practice when there was no more Mizbeach to circle around the Bima. So what do? So we circle around the lulav, instead of the mizbeach, we circle around the bima every day once, and on Ashran and Rabbah, we circle around 7 times, and we do the arava ritual only on the 7th day, because zecher lamikdash, to commemorate the mikdash, since arava, there's no reference of arava, min ha-Torah, bigvulin, outside the mikdash area, we only do a zecher lamikdash 1 day, that's the 7th day. So where do we get this practice of chibut aravos, beating the aravos? Where do we get that practice from? The Mishnah only mentions about leaning it up against or over the mizbeach. Where do we get this idea of beating down the aravos? So there's a Tosefta, which is quoted by the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel Beis, which tells a story of once when the 7th day of Sukkot, so Shadar Rabbah fell out on Shabbos. Nowadays, we set the calendar so it doesn't happen. But there was a time when the 7th day of the Shvi Shel Arava, the 7th day of Sukkot, so Shadar Rabbah fell out on Shabbos. And the people brought Murbiel Shel Arava, Mayor of Shabbos. They brought branches from Mayor of Shabbos, Vinichon Bazar, they left it in the Azara. And the Baitusim, who did not believe in Arava, because it was halacha l'moshe Sinai, perhaps it wasn't explicit in the Torah, and so they hid the aravos under stones, so they wouldn't find them. But l'machar, the next day, hikiru b'hem amei aretz. No, the people who were faithful to the traditional view that arava is taken on Shabbos, and the concept of arava does exist, so they found them and they brought them, and it says, and the Gemara concludes, Lefi she'ein baitusim modim shechibut arava dochas the Shabbos. The baitusim did not believe that the chibut of arava, the beating of the aravos, was dochas the Shabbos. So already you have some reference. Again, the Gemara is quoting the Tosefta that there wasn't simply leading the aravos over the mizbeach, but they actually engage in chibut. So again, the simple understanding is that chibut might refer to beating the aravos, but it's not so clear. Because the Gemara in Sukkot, Daf Mem Daled Beis, when it states that Omar Evo Hava Kamina Kame the Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok Va'isehu Gavra Arava Kame, so Evo said, I was speaking in front of Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, and there was a person, and he brought an arava. Shakil, he took it chavid v'lo berach. He was chavid and he didn't make a bracha. He didn't make a bracha, presumably because he held that, let's say, now it's only a minhag Nevi'im, and it's not a Yisod Nevi'im, it's only a custom, and therefore it doesn't require bracha. But the Gemara says, Chavit, Chavit. And Rashi said this Lashon Ninua. It's a language of waving. So Rashi believes that the ritual of Arava is, of Chavit, is to wave it. The Rambam in Hilchos Lula, Perek Zayin Halacha Chavez, disagrees. And the Rambam says that you are choved ba'ala karka. You beat the aravos on the ground, or on a kli, or on a utensil, vessel, pa'amayim, twice, or shalosh, or three times, below bracha, without a bracha, shedavar zeh minhag nevi'im hu, because this is a minhag nevi'im. So we have a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. What were they doing with the arava? Were they waving it, or were they beating it? What's the difference if the ritual involving Chibur Aravos is waving or beating? It seems to me that if it's waving, if what they would do with the Arava is waving, then it's similar to what they were doing with the Dal and Minim, the Lulav and the Esrog, all throughout Sukkos. It was simply, they would do it with an Arava now, on the seventh day. What's the purpose of waving the Arba Minim throughout Sukkos? Well, Rashi and Tanis, the Beis and Beis states, that the arba minim are boim l'ratzos al hamayim. They come to appease for the water. We want it to rain, and so it's the ninua presumably is a form of tefillah, a form of prayer. So presumably also on the seventh day, the day before Shmini Atzeres, before Tefillas Hageshem, so we take the arava. It's called an arve nachal. It's specifically a plant that is by a river, by a brook. It's the agricultural species that is most needy for water. And we take that and we emphasize that this is the day before it's the day before we wanted to start raining, the day before Shmini Atzeres. So we do the same practice for Arava as we did for the Dal Minim every single day, but it's in the heightened form on Hoshana Rabbah. If you hold, like the Rambam, that you do Chibut Aravos, if you literally beat it, and by the way, our practice, like the Arizal, to do it five times, but what obviously this is something different than the waving of the Dal Minim. Why would we beat down the Aravos? So there are different customs brought, there are different reasons brought down. For example, there's a Tshuvos HaGaonim which states that it hints Shekol Peshe Yakum LeKatreg Oleinu Lo Yuchal Lodo VeYipol Arza, that any mouth that will come to prosecute against us cannot be successful, because the Arava is Dome LePeh. The Arava is like the mouth. Each of the different agricultural species based on the measures is similar to a different body part. The Ashrog is the heart, and the Lulav is the spine, and the Hadas is like the eyes, and the Arava is like the mouth. So we're beating down the mouth. We want no one to prosecute against us, so we'll be judged favorably. Could be also beating the Aravos, in a sense, is humbling ourselves. And if you argue, like the Medrash says, that the Arava represents the Jew who has no Torah, Ma'asim Tovim. So what do? We come to God after we try to bind ourselves together with the Arba Minim, and we want Zchuyot together with the Arba Minim, that we should be judged favorably, so we should reign. And just like Kadosh Baruch, hopefully will be nice, will be good to the Esrog, to the Jew with Torah and Mitzvot, and perhaps to those who have Torah, just Masim Tovim. We're the Arava, let's say we're joined together with them. We want to get our Zchus together. Maybe on this last day before it's supposed to start raining, we want it to start raining, the Arava, the Jew who has no standing, he has no Torah, no Masim Tovim, so what do? We humble ourselves, we beat ourselves, and we say we're lowly, and you know, we can't even ninua, we can't even pray. We just humble ourselves and say, please God, we know we're nothing, but please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep us alive, do good to us in the coming year. There is a Chachma Shlomo. Shlomo Kluger writes a little critical about the Arava. He writes, this is in Simon Tav Reish Samach Dalet Siv Beis in the Chachma Shlomo, where he writes that the Arava is a reference to the Rishayim who have no Tamareach. And And in the holiday of Sukkos, we bind the Arava together with the other medium so that the righteous will protect the Rishayim. However, this is only in this world. But on the seventh day of Sukkos, which references the seventh millennium, in other words, after year 6000, the Messianic era, in the future, at that point, the wicked will be judged by themselves, and they will be lowered to the ground. So if we beat them, to humble them, to demonstrate what will happen in the Messianic era. Rav Kook, in his Sefer Moadei HaRi'iyah, on page 128, has an exactly opposite view in terms of this practice. And he says, we don't strike the willow branch, we don't strike the Arava, but we strike with the Arava, with the willow branch. Because in the different struggles that Jewish people face, particularly ideological struggles, the true secret weapon is the simple Jew, who may not have Torah, Masim Tov, he's a simple Jew who is devoted to mitzvahs through habit and instinct. But he is the key to the success of the Jewish people. So he turns it around, Rav Kook, and saying, how beautiful, we use the Arava to help strike out our enemies. In any case, all of these activities of circling the Mizbeach, of the Chibud Aravos, all of these activities point to Hoshana Rabbah as a day of judgment. I think many of us, when we think about Hoshana Rabbah as a day of judgment, we think about the Zohar, because the Zohar in Chelek Gimel Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis states that Beyom Shvi Dechag Husiyuma the Dina Da Alma, then the seventh day of Sukkos, it's the end of the judgment of the world. Upaskim Nafkim Be Malka, and little pieces of paper, kvittel, go out from the house of the king. And this is the day of judgment. And the Zohar in Chelek Aleph Daf Reish Chaf Amud Aleph states, Lebasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Zomin Kapi De Barnash Yom De Kippurah Yom De Tshuva. God summons before man on Yom Kippur, the day of Tshuva, Itav Mechate Tav. If a person returns, he does Tshuva, he repents. Good. Vilo Pakid Malka Lemechtan Piskin. If not, then God's going to seal, the judgment on a piece of paper. Vay Daha Tshuva Bar Lestalka Mine. Izachi B'Tshuva Velo Shlimusa Kidika Yos. Talin Le Adahu Yom Basra Datzeres. So if he doesn't do complete tshuva, God holds, he's hanging in the balance until the end of Sukkos, Tehu, Tbinyar Lechag, is until Shmini Atzeres. Basically, you have up until that point. Yet the last day is Hoshana Rabbah. V'yavit tshuva shleimasa lekamim mare iskaru. And if he does tshuva shleim, a complete tshuva in front of his master, then the paper is ripped up. So it seems that the Arizal mentions that this is the end of judgment, even though the judgment is written on Rosh Hashanah and it's sealed in Yom Kippur, it's still not executed until Shmini Atzeres. And the last day before that is Hoshana Rabbah. This is the Arizal. But the truth is, there are others. It's not just the Arizal. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Perek Daled writes, Amar Rabbi Yonah states, the pasuk says in Yeshayahu Perek Minches pasuk Beis, Va'osi Yom Yom Yidreshun, and they seek me daily. What's Yom Yom? Zot Tekiyah V'Arava. This refers to both Rosh Hashanah and the Arava, both days in which objects are employed as instruments of prayer. The Shibole Haleket, along with other Ashkenazic Middle Age, Svarim. Svarim in the Middle Ages, just one example, is Shibboleth Haleket. In Seder Chag HaSukkah, Siman Shin Ayin Aleph, the Yom Arava, who Yom Chasimas Adin, B'Yom HaKippur. The Yom Arava is the day of the sealing of the judgment Yom Kippur. Kiditnan, as the Mishnah says, V'Chag Nidorim Alamayim, that on Sukkos we're judged on the water. Shibboha Yumisayim Nisuch HaMayim. What do we do on Sukkos in times of the base of Midrash? We do Nisuch HaMayim, we do the water libations. Why? Because we're praying for rain. And the last day, when we perform the water libation, is Hoshana Rabbah. So Hoshana Rabbah is that last day, the final day of judgment, before Shmini Atzeres, before it's going to start to rain. And in an agrarian society in Eretz Yisrael, our lives depended on rain. So all of this, and there are other Sfarim as well, the Machzor Vitri has a reference to, and the Rokeach have a reference to Hoshana Rabbah being a Yom Hadin. However, there's another element of Hoshana Rabbah. Yes, we're praying for rain. But it's also, Hoshana Rabbah is also a time of simcha. The Sefer HaManhig, which is written in the 12th century in France, in Hilchos Sukkah, writes the following. And now, Shana Rabba, we seal the three open Svarim before God. It's already been sealed, if I guess it's Tzaddikim and Shoyim Benonim. It's already been sealed in Yom Kippur. And the end of the, in the, when it's going to be executed, the Rosh Hashanah is the end of the kapara, or the purpose of the kapara, of the atonement, bichshekvar, his aninu, because we've already fasted, me'erev Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, from me'erev Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, v'nimchalu ha'avonos v'azdonos v'apshoim, and we've already been forgiven for the sins. We've already been forgiven for the intentional sins. And if we committed any sins unintentionally that were worthy of chayvi misos, that were worthy of the death penalty, but we did them unintentionally, and heim goli mehabotim. So then we are exiled from our houses, lusukos, to the sukos, shein dira asarai, because this is a temporary abode. Valzen iskapilot hagolos, and through living in the sukkah, we achieve atonement because we are like in Golos. Valulav shemenanim lodia. But look what he writes. The lulav, listen to what he writes. The lulav that we wave comes to teach us. Ki nitzachnu es kol hamiskomim olenu. That we have been successful with all those who have risen, tried to rise above us, to rise against us. Ki namar b'Yerushalmi p'sikta. Like it says in Yerushalmi in the p'sikta. Uvadein nitzchuya dinatzchim mikrava. And with those who are successful, that we are successful in battle, v'naktin lulavaya b'yadehon, and they take the lulav in their hands. Why do we take the lulav in our hands? Not to pray, but kederech hamalachim hamenatzchim, like kings who are victorious, v'tofse hayaros, and they conquer cities, v'lochin haromeach, and they take spears, and ve'os hamachus taloibo, and the sign of the king is hanging on it. Voli on Rosh Hamigdol, and they stand on the top of the tower molicho mevia lechol ruach, and they move it to and fro in every direction. Lodia to make known ki amelach nitzeach hazakol, the king defeated everyone and everything. Al kein tov lomar bo mizmore. That's why we say Mizmorim, Psalms, that we say on Shabbos. And we say Kedusha like other Yomim Tovim. And we light candles on Hashanah Rabba like on the night of Yom Kippurim. According to the Sefer HaManhig, this is a celebration. We take the lulav for 7 days. It's a celebration. Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted our tshuva, and we've been victorious, and we're going to live another year, and we're going to be able to do mitzvos and to serve as God's ambassador in this world for yet another year. And we wave our lulavs as a celebration. And Hoshana Rabbah is when this is finally sealed, and we're excited because we made it, and God's going to execute judgment, but we know that we've been successful, so we are celebrating. And that's why we dress well. Some people dress a little bit like a Yom Tov, and we daven like a Yom Tov. We say in Kamocha, Shema Yisrael, like on Yom Tov. And the Rama writes that we say the Kaddish after Tfilas Musaf in a Nigun of Yom Tov. And the Rama writes there's a custom to not do Malacha, of weekday Malacha, until after we leave Shul. So what we see from here is that Hoshana Rabbah is a combination of Yom Hadin and a Yom Tov. Quasi Yom Adin and a quasi Yom Tov. We started off, and we mentioned in the Mishnayos, they would lean over the Aravos, over the Mizbeach every single day. They would, according to the dominant view in the Gemara, the accepted view in the Gemara, they would circle the Mizbeach every day with the lulav, and then on the seventh day they would circle it seven times. Nowadays, we circle the bima seven times with the lulav, and we do the arava ritual only on the seventh day because it's not ikar min haTorah bigvulim, because there's no arava that's done outside the mikdash area min haTorah. So therefore, when there's no mikdash, so we do it once, we do it one day zecher lemikdash. That ritual could either be in the form of nanuin, waving, just like the Luvin Esrog, perhaps a form of tefillah, or something more powerful, according to the Rabbah, real chavata, beating the aravos on the ground or on a kli, and we suggested different approaches for this, perhaps prostrating ourselves, humbling ourselves, silencing the peh of the mouth of anyone who wants to prosecute against us, perhaps the message, a positive message for the Rishayim, a negative message for the Rishayim, but something more powerful, the Arava, than according to the Rambam, than simply Nanuin, according to Rashi. And then we said that even though, according to, there's a certainly the Zohar, the Yerushalmi, Shibor Lekin, and others review this day as a Yom Hadin, the day before Shemini Atzeres, but the Sefer Maariv also says it's a Yom Tov, because we know we've been successful. We were confident that Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted our tshuva, and we've been victorious, and we look forward to another year of Torah and mitzvos, and being an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations. And that's why this is not, we don't only treat this day as a quasi Yom Hadin, but also as a quasi Yom Tov.